Well, it is time to talk with Brad Graber. He has got the website investingintruth.com. Joins us every Tuesday at this time around 7:30. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Brad, it's good to have you here talking about some financial issues, specifically today with young people teaching teens to value money. And let's just dive into this. Where do we start?
Well, the first thing is let's make sure we understand what we're even trying to do as we're raising our teen. Ultimately, we're trying to help them to eventually become responsible adults that can handle money. And I've seen the consequences of a lot of people that have not been taught that, either because their parents didn't know how to do it or their parents didn't talk to them about it. And, you know, then it goes back to understanding how our teens are going to learn. And they're going to learn by seeing, and they're going to learn by doing. So we need to make sure that we're giving them a good example and then also allowing them the ability to do on their own and learn through their own mistakes.
Mistakes are good because they can teach us not to go backwards, but to go forwards. What about allowance? You know, some families do the allowance thing, others don't. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, one of the big struggles with an allowance is, you know, the Bible tells us that money and work go together. So we want to be careful with how we handle the allowance. Are we just giving our kids a lot of free money and not giving them any responsibilities around the house? You know, that could be a potential issue. We also don't want to continue to give them chores and pay them for everything they do around the house. You know, as adults, there are responsibilities we have that we don't get paid for. And as, you know, as we're teaching our kids, we want to make sure that we do have that relationship of money and work. But at the same time, you know, even for little kids, we want to make sure that we are putting some money in their hands so that they have that ability to make some financial decisions and practice with money, even when it's, you know, it's nickels and dimes. We want to give them that ability. So I'm not adverse to people using allowances, but at the same time, you want to make sure that the idea of the connection of work and money is not being lost through the process.
Yeah, you know, I remember when my son was very young, Brad, and there was something he wanted to go do, and I told him he was going to have to wait until payday. You know, the available funds to do this thing were a little bit low, and I didn't want to draw out anywhere else. And he said, well, can't you just go to the bank and get more money? And so that's where it began. We explained you got to put it in to have it to get out. And you say that lessons are cheaper when we're young. Share a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. As we get older, our expenses, our tastes and our desires get a lot more expensive. So the earlier we can teach them, like I said, when it's nickels and dimes, you know, I can take my young girls, I could take them to the dollar store, and we could learn a lot of valuable lessons there with a dollar. And as they get older, now those little trinkets at the dollar store become electronic devices that are a lot more expensive, and eventually they're going to become cars and houses. So if we don't learn the lessons when they're cheap by buying a piece of junk that falls apart the next day, then how are we learning to make those spending decisions? Are we going to wait until now it's electronic devices when we're in our later teens or even mid-teens these days? Or are we going to continue to wait and not even learn the lessons at that point, and now we're making bad decisions with cars and houses when the consequences are a whole lot bigger? So as tough as it is for an adult or for a parent to let your kids stumble and fall, we also have to look at what are the consequences of failure. And when I take my kids to the dollar store and they buy something and it breaks on the way home, we can stomach the dollar a whole lot easier than we can the $100 for an electronic device or the thousands of dollars for an unwise car purchase. So as hard as it is, sometimes you have to allow them to spend their money on things that you know are junk. And the way I like to handle it is if they want to buy something, they need to ask me. I'll give them my advice, but if they choose not to follow it, then they're going to bear the consequence of it. And if it breaks on the way home, I'm not going to give them another dollar to go back and buy something different. They need to suffer the consequence of the thing that they bought. And while it may sound harsh, I'm trying to teach them a lesson that ultimately travels through life. Because if they buy a car that falls apart, nobody's going to give them their money back on that car and let them choose a different car.
Yeah, so dad's opinions very, very special there, especially when it comes to the future spouses. But you've got some years to go on that, Brad, with your little girls.
So. I hope so.
Tell them how you feel. Well, and the weddings, too. Yeah, those weddings. Hey, let's talk a little bit about tithing. You know, that's a word a lot of little children don't know, but teens mostly do, especially if they've been churched. How do we work that in with our kids?
Yeah, so one thing we need to understand the spiritual condition of our child first and foremost. So as the parent, I'm going to teach them to give, to save, and to spend, just like any adult. But I need to also recognize that my kids may not be believers at certain points in their lives. So until they become believers, they're not really being led by the Spirit out of a heart of giving back to God. They're more being led by obedience to me as a parent who's telling them to give. So what I'm trying to do is instill that practice of giving while they're young. When we receive money, the first thing we do is we're going to set some aside for giving, we're going to set some aside for saving next, and then spending is going to be the third thing, and it's going to be that priority order. It goes back to, I don't know who originally came up with the three-jar system, and that's the way we used to do it. When our kids got paid, we would divide it into three equal amounts, and the first part went into giving, the second part went into saving, the third went into spending. And you could never spend the other two things, but you could always sacrifice some spending to either give it or save it. So you kind of had a priority order there. But the whole idea was, out of obedience to us, they were happy to give. And, you know, giving is something that even non-Christians can take pleasure in. So what we're trying to do is instill the practice and instill the joy of giving, even though they may not be believers at the time, so that once they do accept Christ, they've already got the practice in place. So now the heart comes along beside it, and they're able to do it and glorify God and take great joy in it, even though it's been something they've been doing for a long time out of just obedience to the parent. Now it becomes obedience to Christ.
Hey, Brad, touch briefly, too, on debt. How can we teach our kids about the perils of going into debt and when that might be okay for a brief time, but when it's definitely not okay?
Well, you know, debt always, the Bible doesn't specifically say that debt is a sin, but debt comes with dangers. So when we take on debt, we become a slave to somebody else. So if we're going to want to teach our children about debt, it's just like you said about your child, that can't we just go to the bank and get more money? Well, in reality, you could, but you're going to be borrowing to do that. So are there instances where our child wants to buy something before they have enough money saved up? If so, there may be an opportunity there to actually play the bank with your child. And if they want it bad enough, are they willing to borrow from you in order to go make that purchase today? And if so, then we need to play the real bank, because, again, we're trying to simulate real life here. So if we do that, and this, I know this may sound harsh to some people, but, again, it's about trying to teach your children how real life functions. If I'm going to be the bank to my child, then I'm going to lend it to them just like a bank would lend it to them. And they're going to have to pay me back. And they're going to have to pay me back on time, and they're going to have to pay me back more than what I loaned them. Now, I may choose to just take what they give me. I'm not looking to make money off of my child. I'll just take the interest that they give me, and I'll put it back in their savings account when they're not looking. So ultimately, it's still their money. But in their eyes, they borrowed money. They paid more for it than what they would have had to if they had waited. And you start to get that example there of how debt works. And especially if it's something that takes them a little while to pay it back, they're going to still be paying you once they're not as excited about what they bought. They already have something else they want to go buy now, and they're still paying on the last item. And that's, unfortunately, a hard lesson that a lot of people didn't learn until adulthood. So if I can teach them that on something cheap as a child, then, you know, that's an important lesson in life.
Well, those of us who didn't know you when we were teens, we're going to move on to a great thing called boot camp, and that's just around the corner. Tell our listening family what boot camp is all about.
Yeah, financial boot camp is a class that a friend of mine and myself designed, oh, it's been about a decade ago, and we've been teaching it at our local churches since then. I designed it as a year-long course where once a month we're reading, we're meeting together, we're discussing the financial principles kind of A to Z throughout the course of the year. And it's a lot to take in, so we're just trying to break it down into bite-sized pieces as we go throughout the year. and we're going to cover things from debt to giving to lifestyle to, how do we pass things on to our children? How do we teach our children, just like we're talking about today? And then ultimately saving, investing, what about insurance and taxes and things like that? So it's really designed to be a full educational experience that we spread out over a year's time. And, if somebody's interested in looking at it, I've got all that material posted on my website as well that they can kind of go through on their own.
I was going to ask you to mention that. I do believe I saw that posted at investingintruth.com, so you can check that out and take a look at some of Brad's blogs. That was harder to say than on a Tuesday morning, Brad, by the way. Brad's blogs, five times fast. But our financial planner, Brad, thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning, and that's great advice on helping our teenagers learn to value money.